Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Cynthia from Bridal Tribe. I'm your host tonight for the Tribal Wisdom Show. As you know, we are now in November, and I don't know about where you are, but in New York, it is cold. It's getting kind of brisk out here. Welcome to November, and for tonight's show, as well as for the rest of the month, we are going to be focusing on financial literacy. Last month, we did health literacy, and this month, we are doing financial literacy, and we are so happy to have a host of different experts to come on and talk to us about how to get our financial houses in order. Before we get started, I'd like you to know that Financial Literacy Month is sponsored by Tea by Tiffany, and tonight's flavor is Chai Noir. When it gets this cool in November, I love to do my show, and I put on my little fuzzy footies, and I like to have a cup of tea, and Tiffany custom blends the tea for me to perfection. And if you would like to try some of Tiffany's tea, you should definitely go over to her page, Tea by Tiffany, on Facebook, join her Tea of the Month Club, and join me in a cup every week for the month of November, and I'm sure that you will enjoy it. Get more information, Tea by Tiffany, on Facebook.com/Tea by Tiffany. Now, tonight, we have a wonderful guest, Toni Perry and Husbands. She is from the Debt-Free Divas. And we're going to talk tonight about eliminating debt, managing personal finances, and building wealth. If this is something that you're interested in, I guarantee you that you want to take out your pen and paper and take some notes. Now, I see that she's trying to come through. Give me a second. I think we're having technical difficulties. So just give me one second. Of course, we would have technical difficulties when we're trying to talk about money, money, money. So bear with me as we get her in. And let's see how this works out. Either way, we have a whole slew of guests that are lined up this month for financial literacy, and we will be talking about a few different things. Next week, I believe we're going to be talking about taxes and making sure that your taxes are in order. The week after that, we are going to be talking once again about the emotional side of finances. And we can't wait to have our guests come on to help you through this. Now, I'm going to actually put us all on hold to help our guests get into the room. And, you know, also what I plan on doing is opening up the chat room. So if you would like to join us there, please do so. Leave questions, leave comments, and any way that we can help you, we shall. So just give me one second and let me help my guests get into the on the switchboard. Okay. I am so sorry about that. It seems like our technical difficulties are over, and we do have our guest on the air. Like I said, just because we're all going to talk about money tonight, the radio decided to act up a little bit. So I'm not going to even prolong it. I want to bring in our guest for tonight, Mrs. Toni Perry and Husbands, to talk about debt relief, budgeting, and a few other things. Toni, are you there?
I am. I apologize. We kept getting a busy signal.
I don't know what that was about.
But I am here, and I am ready to chat.
Yay. Let's get to chatting. first, why don't you just tell us about who you are, where you're from, and how it is you became a debt-free diva?
Sure. Well, again, my name is Toni Husband, and I work with three partners. We're financial coaches, and we began the Debt-Free Divas about, this is going on our fourth year now, 2010 actually, but we began the Debt-Free Divas as an avenue to talk about personal finances and to encourage and motivate and help guide other people who are interested in getting their personal finances back on track and taking, you know, taking control over those finances so that they can eliminate debt, eliminate consumer debt, most importantly, but eliminate debt ultimately from their portfolio so that you can get on to doing more important things in life, like, you know, paying off your house or maybe saving up and paying for college tuition for your children, or, you know, really vacationing in style, or giving more generously, you know, just all the other things that, that come with the freedom involved with not burdening yourself with a boatload of consumer debt. The idea for the Debt-Free Divas actually started after my own personal experience, kind of walking through this journey. My husband and I, it's been about 10 years now for us, but, you know, my husband and I, some 10 years ago, looked up and said, you know, we really make way too much money to be this tied down with debt. We were, you know, basically living from paycheck to paycheck, and I saw a bumper sticker once that said, this always stays with me, but it says, I'm now struggling at the salary I used to dream of making. You know? And that was,
that's actually
that
a good
so,
one.
Yeah, yes. That was that summed up our situation to a T. And I on a lark, I was visiting my mother in Detroit. She was at a conference, and she ended up attending a workshop with a gentleman named Dave Ramsey. And if you're not familiar with Dave Ramsey, he's pretty well-known, probably more well-known in the southern part of the country, but a pretty well-known financial guru. And he had written this book. It's a great book. Highly recommend it for anybody who is interested in just really changing their life around when it comes to money. But he'd written this book, and she got a copy of it, and I read it that weekend because she wouldn't let me take it with me. But the book is called The Total Money Makeover. And before I, you know, got my hands on that book, I was, you know, starting to just educate myself a lot and, you know, trying to learn more. And I, you know, thinking between the two of us, we're very intelligent people. So they, intelligent stigma when it comes to dealing with money, because one of the things that we've definitely learned is if you don't know, you don't know. And so that's the most important thing in terms of really getting your finances back on track, is to educate yourself. And there are plenty of ways to skin this dead cat. So, you know, I don't necessarily like to get into these philosophical debates with people about, you know, oh, you should structure your debt repayment plan this way. Oh, no, it's more important to look at the interest rate. Oh, what's most important is that you do something and you stick with it and you get out of debt. What worked for me, my husband, might not work for you all, but I challenge you to try it. That's my thing. I don't want to spend a lot of time debating the pros and cons of some theoretical. No, try it. Put a plan in action. See if it works. And if it doesn't work for you, then try something else. But I will tell you that we did, you know, we've been kind of on this trying to do budgets for a year or so, and then we would try something, and then it wouldn't work, or we get off track, or we move, you know, lose interest or whatever, until I ran across The Total Money Makeover. And this book just pretty much repackaged some old concepts that were floating around, you know, for eons about an idea called the debt snowball. And that's what I want to share with everybody real quickly. The debt
snowball
is just
on.
A,
Hold on one second. I want you to kind of backtrack a little bit because you mentioned consumer debt twice already. And I want to make sure that we kind of define that or give it like a definition of what you mean by consumer debt so that we can let the listeners be aware before we get into the snowball.
Okay, sure.
let's talk a little bit about consumer debt.
I like to segment debt into two categories, consumer debt and then mortgage debt. Consumer debt basically is just everything that is not your home because you're going to live somewhere. Mortgages are collateralized by your property or your home. So unfortunately, if something happens in a situation where you cannot pay for you can no longer afford your mortgage, then you do have the option of relieving yourself of that debt by basically turning over responsibility back over to the bank. So that's why we kind of separate that up. Plus, it's such a long term. We're talking, in most cases, 15 or 30-year terms. That is such a long term that we want you to focus on shorter-term gains. So that's why I segment consumer debt. So these are things like your credit cards, any loans that you have to maybe family members or anything like that. Maybe you have some medical debt. Maybe you have car note. Maybe you have a car note, as many of us in this country do. We finance our cars. Student loans could potentially be in your consumer debt. That's a huge expense for quite a number of us in this country too. Especially if we've gone through any type of secondary schooling, you may have some student loan debt. Now, I do want to make a distinction, a caveat here with student loans. The average student loan these days, students are graduating with about $26,000, an average of $26,000 in student loan debt. Now, what we do with student loan debt, and because this particular debt is the one of, I say this is my soapbox, but I ended up paying off my student loan. It took me 10 years to do it, but I had nowhere near what students are coming out of college with today, and so that's why I seriously understand the stress and the burden that student loans put on people. So if your student loan is more than twice what you make annually, then what we do is we put the student loan into the long-term category along with maybe, say, a mortgage. We put that off and we focus on everything else except those long-term debts so we can get rid of the consumer debt, wipe that off. And if you think about it, if you added up all of the debt that you are, I'm sorry, if you added up all of the payments that you're paying on car notes, credit cards, student loan, any other types of loans that you might have, paying same as cash for your furniture. If you add up all of these payments that you're paying each month, think about what you could do with that money if you were no longer in debt.
Right.
How much more could you save each month? How much more quickly could you establish a three to six month emergency savings fund if you did not have to pay all of the consumer debt, consumer notes that you're paying each month, if you weren't servicing that debt? How much more aggressively could you attack those 5- and 6-figure student loan bills if you didn't have to pay what you're paying each month in monthly notes? How much faster might you be able to pay off your home, and live mortgage-free?
Right.
Those are some of the things that we want to encourage people to think about, because I think in this country, and I will definitely say I had this mentality as you coming out of school that, debt is normal, right? Debt is something, nobody buys a car for cash, only rich people, right?
Wow.
It's normal to have a house payment for the next 30 years, even though many of us are going to move 3 or 4 times, in our lifetime. It's normal to have a 30-year mortgage note hanging over your head for the rest of your life until you retire, basically. It's normal, and that's the thing that I think that I loved about the Total Money Makeover is and that's the thing I like about reading. I like this, I'm a big numbers person, so I like the statistic, and this comes from The Millionaire Next Door is a book by Thomas J. Stanley, and he says that the average millionaire reads one nonfiction book a month. And mm-hmm. so those are some of the things that if you are feeding your mind with helpful ideas and things that are going to make a difference for your, you know, for your financial future, these are some of the things that you will start to challenge, that maybe it's not such a good idea for me to finance a car. Maybe I should save up and pay cash and buy what I can afford, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
mm-hmm.
I should do some things like shop in my closet instead of trying to stay connected with whatever the latest trend is each season, so I'm constantly in the mall trying to update my wardrobe look instead of, you know, being more of a either having your own style or you know, going for more classic look, so that I don't feel the need to keep up with the changes and trends each season, and thereby you know, cutting down the amount of disposable income I have to eliminate my debt even faster.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, you know, and these are some of the things that my husband and I had to kind of come to terms with, which it took us 7 years, but we were able to pay off over $100,000 worth of consumer debt. And that, my friends, did not include our mortgage. Okay, that was
that
extra debt
is awesome.
Carrying around.
Right, that is just awesome. So let's again kind of like bullet point a little bit of what you were saying. When you're talking about like the major consumer debt that you can attack immediately, you're talking about possibly holding off purchasing a car, shopping in your own closet, which, you know, I love doing that myself. So holding off on shopping, paying down your student loan as quickly as possible. But then again, I'm not sure that's as immediate as other things that you were talking about, because I know, like you said, like student loans and your mortgage is something that you can pay off over time, and you can actually pay small amounts on your student loan, definitely not on your mortgage. They're not going to, you know, negotiate that on your mortgage. But on a student loan, sometimes they're coming out and they're allowed to pay $25 to $50 a month until they're able to pay more. So would you say that a student loan can be less of a concern to pay off quickly when it comes to consumer debt?
I would say this again, the two ways that I look at student loans are, number one, is it twice the amount that I make annually? If it isn't, if it's something less than that, then I put student loans in your category of debt that needs to be retired as quickly as possible. Okay?
Okay.
Now, one of the good things about your federally subsidized student loans, and unfortunately you don't have this much leniency with your private student loans, and I guess we can get into that discussion later, but we'll stick with their federally subsidized student loans. The good thing about those is, yes, you do have some flexibility in addressing your payment options, addressing your repayment terms. You know, now they have the income-based repayment plan where they can look and see, depending on how much you are making, maybe your assigned payment, your monthly payment note can be adjusted to
mm-hmm.
fit your incomes. Now, the
mm-hmm.
thing you want to look at with these, it will help you from a short-term perspective, like month to month, and that's
mm-hmm.
okay if you need it. That is definitely okay if you need it. But you're also extending the time that you have signed up to pay back, and thereby increasing the amount of interest. So there are pros and cons, but if you need the help, if you need to adjust, you know, your payments, you need to drop it down, if you need to look at things like forbearances or deferments, and basically those are time frames that you can put off paying the note for a year or up to a year for most of the federally subsidized notes at a time,
mm-hmm.
then those are some options that, yes, you definitely need to look at. And I will say that's one of the things that I ended up taking advantage of,
mm-hmm.
a 1-year deferment, because then I was able to allocate more of my disposable income to paying off other bills faster. And then by the time I, you know, came around to needing to focus on my student loans, some of the other bills were gone. So that's a tactic that I think people can afford. Unfortunately, with your private student loans, and it's very important that people understand the difference. Unfortunately, with your private student loans, you generally only have 12 months of deferment for the total life of the loan, which really is unfortunate.
It's not a whole lot of time, yeah.
No,
that's like
no,
you
for
can
the
do
entire
2 months
life
a year.
Of your loan.
Right.
Right. So I wouldn't try that tactic at all with the private student loans, because there may come a time where you actually need to, because of job loss or sickness or something like that, you need to defer your student loans. So you want to keep that deferment, you know, in place in your pocket basically until you need to use it with the private. But, again, federally subsidized student loans, your Sallie Mae, you know, those have a lot more flexibility because they want you to pay back those loans. And the thing we really need to stress about student loan folks is that they are not bankruptible, which means you cannot dispose of your student loans if you file for either Chapter 7 or Chapter 13 bankruptcy. Those loans will follow you to the grave. And here's the thing that's interesting about the student loan, and something we haven't seen just yet, but because the amount of student loans is exploding, so and the amount of defaults on student loans is increasing, so there's actually a chance that people's Social Security retirement income, once you reach retirement age, can be garnished if you do not pay your student loans.
You know, wondering how that was happening. The first time I heard that there was a 70-year-old man that I knew who was having his Social Security, I was like, isn't that illegal or something? How does that even happen?
Doesn't that just seem like really wrong? But
it does.
I mean, at the worst possible time, you're thinking, oh, I'm not going to think about this loan. I'm not going to pay attention to it. It will catch you. It will catch up to you, you know. Lord willing, if you're, you know, able to hang around long enough to retire and collect Social Security, the government will come after you for student loans. So that's not a loan that you want to ignore.
Okay, good. I'm glad that you said that. We need. In fact, let's just say it again. Government student loans are not loans that you want to ignore, because they can garnish your Social Security check. I would be so upset. You don't even understand. I mean, just thinking about it.
I mean, if you're honestly, you're already on a fixed income and you're thinking, oh, you know, I've worked so hard, these are my golden years. No. The government, unless the laws change, and it's not looking like they're going to change anytime soon, because there's a lot of people on Capitol Hill doing a lot of, you know, advocating, and nothing has changed about these loans. This is big business for the government, the student loan industry. Not to scare people, but I just want to keep people, you know, make sure people understand that it's probably a good idea, especially while you're younger, healthier, kind of in the beginning stages, the accumulation phase, I guess that's what my financial advisor likes to call it, the accumulation phase of your life, to go ahead and focus on eliminating this debt and reprogramming the way that you manage your money, because these are some habits that are going to take you through lean times if, God forbid, you ever have to experience that. And they're also going to, you know, establish a foundation that's going to allow you to pass this on, you know, and really kind of build a legacy, you know, set up something for your future. I'm not a miser. I'm not a killjoy. I love to enjoy life, you know, but I just think that we can do that, and we can kind of live to the fullest if we are a lot smarter, especially earlier on, about the way that we manage money. Now, I don't want to kind of paint a picture like, oh, if I didn't do all of these things when I was 20 or 30, then it's too late for me. No. We interviewed, one of the things that we do with the Deputy Divas is we also have a weekly talk show, and we like to kind of talk to people who have decided that they want to make some differences, make some changes in the way that they manage their money. And too long ago, we interviewed a couple that in their 50s, I think she was 50, he was 50, I'm sorry, in their mid-50s, he was 55 and she was 54. They were $150,000 in debt. looking at retirement. He was a teacher. And within 6 years, they were able to retire all of that. And they kind of, they blog about it. Their blog is the Debt-Free Squad. So that's another couple. So like, I don't want people to think, oh, this is something, if I didn't do it while I was young, it's too late for me. No, no, no.
All right, so no, that's good. That's a good point. Yeah, that it's never too late. You can really start whittling down or attacking your debt at any age and still live a really good life within a couple of years, within at least 10 years. Well, then, you know what?
And the thing about it, well, the thing about it is this is a small, it might seem, it's not necessarily the most enjoyable, but it's, in the grand scheme of things, it's such a small part of your life and a small sacrifice to make for a lifetime of freedom.
It truly is. That's very true. I think that sometimes we underestimate how attractive freedom is at a certain point in our lives. To be able to really, you know, do things when you don't have debt around your neck or debt around your bank account, I should say. You know, if you choose to travel, if that's something you want to do, you can do it. Or if you choose just to let the money sit there and save and collect interest, you can do that too. But the fact that you have granted yourself a different choice or the choice of having the money to use as you wish has to be like such a weight off of your, you know, your shoulders, off of your mind, to know that you, you know, you have like a nice little cushion to be able to enjoy your life no matter what age you are.
Right, exactly. And I also want to encourage people, or actually challenge you, to think like, it's not, oh, if I made more money, I would be able to be a little bit better. I want to challenge you to start working with what you have. When we first started our debt-free process, I was only able to put $400 extra towards debt. And I'm telling you, we were looking at a mountain of debt, and $400 is a very, 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 very teeny tiny.
Yeah, drop in the bucket to try to really go at it. Yeah.
Right. But that's all we had at the time, you know, $400 a month. And then new jobs were had, promotions, any kind of windfall, you know, tax returns, any type of bonus that you get, those types of things started coming, and then we would be able to put a larger chunk here or there, and then the idea of the amount of money that we were putting towards our debt repayment was able to grow as we stayed with it. It wasn't always a straight shot from point A to point B. Things happened in the middle. We both lost our jobs, both my husband and I. At one point, we're both unemployed. You know, thankfully, it was only for a month at the time, but we didn't know that.
Right.
You know?
That's a scary situation.
You know, we didn't know how long of unemployment we were looking at. And But by that time, you know, we had a little savings in place, and we had a mindset of, you know, we are focusing on essentials, we are paying down our debt. And so when little hiccups come like that, or maybe even I had a car accident in the middle of this, or, you know, we had some other financial things happen, you know, there are all kind of life issues that continue to happen. But when you decide and you make a decision that you are going to see this through no matter what, might take you 7 years like it took us. Some people are doing it much, much faster. Some people have much, 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 much less debt than we had.
Right.
And but some people have more, but a lot of people have much less than $100. A lot of people are not walking around with $100,000 in non-mortgage debt. I think the average credit card debt in this country is like $9,000. The average amount of debt total that we hold.
Right.
That's not $100,000.
You just said credit cards. To have $9,000 in debt overall is one thing. I mean, I would not want to have that amount of debt anyway. But to look at us, if it's just on your credit card, I'd be like, what in the world are y'all doing? You know?
That's just on your credit card. And then the average debt that we hold just overall in this country, non-mortgage, $54,000 in debt. But you're talking about car notes, you're talking, student loan, you're talking credit cards, and it can pile up if you're not
paying
attention.
Uh-huh. Right. If, you know what? Let me just stop you right there very quickly, and we can get right back into it. I just want to remind our listeners that if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Tribal Wisdom with me, your host, Cynthia Williamson, and, of course, our guest, who we were finally able to get on. I know some of you are like, what is going on with the dead air? Why is there no one talking? I'm glad that we were able to rectify that. But we are on with Tony Husbands of the Debt-Free Divas, and we are discussing debt, eliminating debt, managing personal finances, and building wealth. And right now we're kind of in the middle of the managing the personal finances portion of the conversation, and I'm hoping that we can really start moving forward into getting into establishing habits, you know, good financial habits. But right now we are definitely in the thick of it, talking about credit card debt, because that's a really scary thing for me. I just to think about $9,000 in credit card debt. That's wow. That would scare me.
And I know that people are different, and this is something I learned like years and years and years ago. I believe I was through a psychology course or something like that. But and I wonder if the number has changed any since then, because it's been about 10 years or so, 15 years or so since I've been in undergrad. But if you get above $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
In credit card debt, then the psychologist was saying $3,000 or more in credit card debt starts to impact you emotionally and mentally. Okay.
Wow.
So if you're talking, if we're talking like $9,000 is the average. So some people have quite a bit more. Then mm-hmm. not only are you dealing with the kind of the financial aspects of addressing, you know, living beyond your means, but you're also starting to venture into some waters where this can affect your health,
yes,
you know, your mental
emotional
health, your
health,
physical health.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, again, another, another plug another source of encouragement just for people to start to think about whether or not living with debt is really something that you want to continue mm-hmm. and practice as a and again, this is something that we don't necessarily know, realize this, but we are also passing these habits on potentially to our children. Okay?
Yes.
Because
if
our children see that, oh, we don't have the money to pay for this, so I'll just go, you know, whip out the plastic and pay for this on credit card and deal with the bills later, or sign a note saying that I'll pay for, you know, such and such a product over time, then those are some habits, again, we're passing on to our children, and we're also setting them up for maybe an initial, not like a lifetime dealing with, you know, bad financial habits, but at least an initial start to their lifetime, which instead of building wealth from the very beginning, you're spending a decade or more digging out of some of the financial mistakes that you've made in your past before you can get to the point where you start building wealth.
I like what you're saying, because you really are, in a nutshell, you're saying that bad money and financial habits can be passed down, that it's like it's hereditary. It could be hereditary. Or maybe hereditary
is
not
behavior.
Right. It's not hereditary, but, you know, it's passed down. You can pass down a bad legacy of bad financial decisions by either not speaking to your family or your children about having good financial health, or by just modeling kind of shady financial practices. So
I like
that you're bringing that up, because it's so true, that and we see it all the time. You know, based on it, we have kids who are they have whatever they want. They can have the sneakers, they can have the jeans. You know, they don't mind spending the money. I know when I was growing up, if I told my parents that I needed $300 for a pair of sneakers, you know, they would have told me, "I hope your name is written on it, because." Because I'll be doggone if you think that I'm going to give somebody else $300 for a pair of sneakers for you to wear outside.
My mother would always say, "Right, tear up." My mother would always say, "Do you know how long I have to work to make that money?"
Exactly.
That was always our standard someday. How many hours? Let's calculate this.
It's true. And I love that approach to it, too. Let's talk about how many hours it takes for you to walk around in those sneakers and they're going to be destroyed in no time.
Right. Right. So, yeah, so it's definitely there. You know, there's some, you know, and again, think about it. You know, it's not just your children, but your children's children. You could really be changing your family tree, right, mm-hmm. if you start to make some changes and you start to make some improvements in the way you manage money now so that, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. your legacy can be one of financial prudence moving forward, moving into the future.
Well, let's go into it. Let's talk about your free ebook and what can people start doing today, right now, to improve their financial health? What is it that can be done?
The first thing, and I know people's eyes kind of glaze over when we talk about this, but it is so important to know where you stand. So what you can do tonight, right after this broadcast finishes, or if you're listening to the archive, right as soon as you get done listening, what you can do is you can write out a budget. We are at the beginning of November, so this is a great time for you to get started. And a budget is nothing more than just a snapshot of where you are financially. All you need to do, and you can make it complex or you can make it simple. Some people, I like to ask on our Facebook page, you know, how do you do your budget? Some people use pen and paper, you know, Excel spreadsheets, smartphone apps. Mint.com is a great tool. It's a free tool. Mint.com is a very free tool for using your budget. I don't care how you do it, but I want you to sit down right now and write out what you have coming in, so all of your income sources, and what you have going out each month. You need to know if you are operating in the black or if you're operating in the red. Because go ahead.
Go on. No, I was going to say, do you have a kind of a worksheet or something in your book or on your page or on your blog? Because a lot of times I hear people talk about how intimidating it is to really sit down and write a budget. They never know where to start. And even when you tell them, you know, let's talk about how much you have coming in and let's talk about how much, you know, is going out, I've seen people, like, crack under pressure. I was kind of shocked. They crack under the pressure of actually having to sit down and do a budget. They really have no idea where to start. So let's really break it down. Let's talk about, you know, do we have them kind of compile their bills together? You know, go get all of those utility bills. Go look through your mail right now.
We definitely have a workshop that we work with our clients, a worksheet, a spreadsheet that we work our clients through. We do financial coaching through our site as well. And
goody.
But one of the things, yes, definitely, I would even say let's make it even simpler, because a lot of times, especially in this day and age, most of what we're doing it electronically. Okay, mm-hmm. So don't, you know, yes, it is important to be organized, and that's definitely something that I talk about, but I want you to just get an idea. Because I don't want all of that to make you feel overwhelmed. Oh, I have to go find all of my, you know, all of my past invoices. I got to, you know, find my tax return. No. I want you to sit down and I want you to think about, you know, get your laptop, your tablet, whatever you're using to manage your expenses, and just kind of go back through the last month, and you can see what you're spending your money on. That's so important. Okay, that is so important, because a lot of times what's funny about a budget is you will find, we say, with doing your budget is the best way to give yourself a raise without getting an extra job. Because you will find, I promise you will find that you are blowing money left and right because you're not paying attention. If you're not operating on a budget already, then you're not paying attention to where your money is going. And I'm sure you will be surprised how much Starbucks adds up. If you're going to Starbucks, even Dunkin' Donuts, you know, if you're going out to get a coffee, you know, every day, you are hitting the vending machine a couple of times a day for snacks. If you are not bringing your lunch to work, you know, how many times have you scheduled hair appointments in the last month? You know, there are a lot of ways that we are spending money that we're probably not, that's probably not registering because we're not tracking it. But when you sit down and you look at it in front of you in, on a piece of paper in black and white, you will be amazed at how much extra disposable income you actually have at your disposal. And that's why I say I'm talking something very quick and dirty so that you can have a column for your income, and then you can have a column for all your expenses. You add those up and subtract them from one another to see whether or not you're dealing with a positive or negative cash flow. Okay?
Nice. Nice. And as she said,
ladies and gentlemen, that's the first thing I want you to do.
Okay. I just want to tell them again that you have financial coaching as a service. Let me just put that back out there again, that if you visit Debt Free Divas on Facebook or their blog or website, financial coaching is one of the services that they have available so that they can actually kind of really talk you through this thing, and you know, you can breathe, put the oxygen mask on, you know, relax, and ohm. So what was the next thing? What was the next thing?
Okay, so the next thing I want you to do, and again, this is just, we're sitting down, we're taking kind of a snapshot of where we are financially. The next thing I want you to do, now this will be a little bit more work for you. I want you to collect all of your debts, all of your statements that represent debt. So, you know, all of your credit card statements, car notes, anything that you are paying a monthly note on, I want you to collect that. So that will be the next list you're making. You're making a list of everything that you owe, so the balance of everything that you owe. And then you're going to make a list of the monthly note, the minimum monthly payments that you have on everything, so that you can see what your minimum monthly servicing amount is for all of your debt. Because that's going to also let you know, in terms of attacking your debt, kind of what kind of plan you can put in place. So everything, even if it's $100 to mom that she lent you because your car broke down last week, whatever money, whatever obligation that you have to somebody else, that's another list that I want you to make. And in this list, we're kind of getting a sense of what we owe totally. I know a lot of times we like to think about like how much payments are, but here's another thing I like to say a lot. I think if we think in terms of payments, payments keep us from prospering. We need to look at the total of what we owe, so we see what kind of hole we've dug for ourselves and how much. And that's why the cash flow is so important, because that way you can see what you're working with in terms of addressing that. And I told you, when we sat down and kind of listed everything out for ourselves, I had $400 left over, and that was after, like, pinching everything, cutting out movies, cutting out, you know, I had $400 left to throw at that, you know, big mountain of debt that we had, and that's what we did. We started with that. So if you kind of get a sense of what I'm trying to tell you, the first thing that you need to do is you need to know where you stand financially. It's not going to be very effective for you to try to attempt to get out of debt or change your financial life if you don't know where you stand, if you don't know what you're working with. The other good thing about putting it down on paper like that is you can, if your cash flow is negative, you have more money going out than you have coming in, basically, then there's two things you can do. Number one, stop spending, especially stop spending on luxury items, luxury non-essential items. So I like to pick on the ladies, but how many times am I getting, you know, a month am I visiting the nail salon and the hair salon? You know, am I getting my hair done? Can I choose a less expensive hairstyle? Can I choose a less expensive yet just as, you know, tastefully done hairstyle so that I can make my expenses line up a little bit better with my income? Do I need to think about some additional streams of income? These are some of the questions that you can start to answer when you have this information in front of you. And as we work with clients, that's the very first step. We always want to see where we are so that you can make a plan to get to where you need to go.
Excellent. You've made so many very nice points that I don't even know which one to say or repeat. But I love so far the one that sticks out is that you can't know where you stand unless you really sit down and take a look at where you currently are. I'm going to be definitely making a tribal wisdom, you know, with some of the stuff that you've been saying. And then, of course, looking at our current expenditures is another thing. Now, I'm not a coffee drinker, but I know some people who, like, live and breathe over at Starbucks. And quite personally, I want them to keep doing so because I've seen them without coffee, and they are not nice people. So I'm going to go ahead and vouch for your cup of coffee for all you coffee drinkers, because I prefer that you spend that $6, $7 on whatever type of caramel, macchiato, chai, whatever it is that you're getting. I never want to see you people without coffee ever again. You are not pleasant.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. There are things like, okay, so you're an avid coffee, or not you, but someone is an avid coffee drinker. Can you get your coffee fix in a less expensive, with a less expensive alternative? And I submit to you that you probably can't.
Okay, you go ahead and submit it. I've had the experience, so I know where I stand. I think that they should have their coffee. I'm scared of them. No. They should have their coffee. So
can you make coffee at home? You know, is it less expensive? Is it less expensive to make it at home or have the coffee at work or choose a different vendor? You know, there are things that, and again, like I said, I'm not the killjoy. I'm not here to squash everybody's fun. What I am here to say,
I'm gonna tell that you said it. It's not me, y'all.
It's not her. I'll take it. But because the thing about it is, again, it is a small sacrifice, some belt tightening, some adjustments. And you know what? Maybe coffee is not the thing that you're going to make your sacrifice on. That's fine. But know that you're making these conscious choices, and the choices that you are making aren't going to have long-term, you know, ramifications. You know, and again, there are some things, like my husband was not taking a lunch. That, you know, those are some things he was just like, yeah, I'm not doing that. And I was like, yes, I mean, can you take leftovers? And that is an area where he was just not willing to back down on.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And you know what? For peace in my household, we just budgeted his lunch, you know. We have a line item for his lunch items, and he's just like, I'm not, because if I take my lunch, I'm going to eat it about 10 o'clock, and I'm going to be hungry.
And he's going to spend money anyway.
Right, exactly. That was his rationale. But, okay, so he has that area. That's his coffee, right? He has that area, but then he was willing to give in some other areas. So those are some conscious choices that he made. Now, maybe we could have, you know, sped up our debt elimination phase a little bit more had he been willing to do that. Maybe not. But again, for the sake of peace and harmony in my household.
I believe it. Like I said, I've seen people without coffee. So I absolutely believe it. You are right. When you're, you know, if you know where you're making conscious choices about where you're willing to give, or you know, budge, or how you said, tighten your belt a little bit, you know, it makes everything else feel a little better. It kind of soothes everything over.
Yes, it definitely does. It definitely does. And that's something to talk about, too. The dynamic of working not just with yourself, because I don't know if it's easier to do this by yourself or with a partner. I have a couple of clients that are, you know, that are single, that are going through this. And one of the things I definitely suggest to anybody is that you have we call them money buddies. You have an accountability partner, somebody that's going to help you stay, somebody that's going to be, you know, pull your coattail a bit, help you stay committed to your process, maybe check in on you, and you can be that same accountability partner to that person.
Yeah.
For me, my husband and I were each other's accountability partner. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously we gave each other permission to be very involved in the process, okay?
Right.
Very involved in it, to hold each other accountable, to maybe even you know, confront an issue if that needed to be, where when things were getting off, when things were getting off track. And so mm-hmm. that's another important part of this, and that's something that you can think about very early on too. Do you have somebody in your life who you trust who is going to help you be responsible? Not that girlfriend that's like, oh, you don't need to do that. Come on, let's go to the mall. Oh, you've been good for the last 2 weeks. Come on, let's go celebrate with a shopping trip. No, you want somebody that's just as committed to your success as you are, if you will, or at least somebody that is going to help you maintain that focus.
Right.
That's
right.
Something
no.
that you can think about as well, as who's an accountability partner that I can help. You know, and you'd be surprised. Maybe it's somebody that's gone through this. Maybe it's somebody that you think or that you know would like to join you in the process. You know, just like with working out, sometimes it helps to have a running partner, right?
Yes.
Because especially
yes.
if you're getting up at 6 in the morning to try to, you know, you're like, somebody's waiting on me, then I'm a little bit more apt to not hit that snooze button one more time.
I don't know about that. Once again, that's a Tony thing. My people know that I am not a morning person, so I'm going to say that's a Tony thing. They
that's
already know not
thing.
To talk
okay.
to me in the morning. How I know them to be without coffee is how I am in the morning, so we understand
each
other.
Okay.
Right. We have an understanding.
Yeah, well, you guys just make sure you have your meeting in the, you know, in the afternoon or evening or something that's a little bit more conducive.
Okay.
But you know, again, that's the beauty of kind of sitting down and figuring out, okay, this is where I am. I know where I want to go, which is to zero debt. Now, these are some of the things I can put in place to help me get there. Okay, he's an accountability partner that works with my schedule. Like
yes, in my schedule, because no,
and
no,
just
no.
had their coffee. All right. So that's another definite plus, I think, is having somebody that's going to work with you a lot, because this is a long journey. It's a long, tedious, sometimes not too interesting process, and it's helpful to have somebody kind of, you know, cheerlead you along the way, help keep you motivated.
Absolutely the truth, because I'm actually a part of a few business accountability groups where we hold each other accountable, like, you know, what did you want to get done with your business this week? Well, I was planning on doing this. Okay, check back with us at the end of the week and let us know how far you got with that. So I'm completely in agreement with having, you know, like a money buddy or an accountability partner to kind of keep you on track with whatever your goal is. And usually I can say, when I was looking to like to buy my place, there were other people around me who wanted to do the same thing. So we did budget ourselves very well. I guess, you know, we didn't realize we were money buddies, but we budgeted
uh-huh.
very well. And, you know, when we wanted to go out for like a quick meal, it was like, okay, we can't do this restaurant, but we can do IHOP, you know,
uh-huh.
or, you know, we can't do this restaurant over here that we love, but BBQ's always has a great meal. We can share a meal at BBQ. kind of thing. So
uh-huh.
with the money buddy, we're still able to really kind of enjoy ourselves, go out and do a couple
yeah.
of things and just kind of share and like cut up coupons, find a Groupon coupon to go to, you know, another restaurant
mm-hmm.
where you ended up paying just like a dollar for the entire meal.
Uh-huh.
So
uh-huh.
excellent advice on that.
Now, I would like to say that, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, can you believe we only have 5 minutes left? I love it. I love
I
it when this happens because it
keeps
up on people. But we can keep talking. I don't want you to feel rushed at all. You know, we can still go over the time. I just want to let the listeners know that if you don't want to miss anything that we're talking about, should we go over, and chances are we might go over just a little bit, you want to call in. The number is 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 if you have a question or a comment for Tony and the Debt-Free Diva. And if not, when you're listening to the archive, you're going to love everything that we're talking about, because we're having a little bit of fun here with money. So fun and money and coffee for some of you is a good
yeah.
combination. So go ahead. So
oh,
you were saying.
So I want to talk a little bit about process.
Mm-hmm. Say again?
I want to talk a little bit about process.
Go for it. Process,
where,
what do you mean by process?
Like I said before, process mm-hmm. in terms of how do I actually walk this through? How do I actually tangibly get rid of my debt? Now, before I said that there were many, many ways to skin a cat, and this is just the way that worked for me as we were kind of looking at different options and trying things and getting off track. When I ran across a process called the debt snowball, this just clicked for me. It made sense for me, and that's what I kind of share with other people. Now, there's some people that are a little more analytical, and they want to look at things, you know, look at a lot of different factors, and that's fine. Whatever works for you, works for you. This is just was simple. I'll put it that way. And the debt snowball basically is a process where you list your debts from smallest to largest. Okay, and you have this information now because you've already sat down, you've done your budget, you've listed all of the debts and all of the balances on those debts. So you're going to now rearrange them from smallest, what's left, to largest, what's left. And again, we're including everything up to and including student loans that are not twice as much as what your annual income is. Okay, and again, the reason that we do this is because I want you to be able to visualize completion. If you're paying on something for 30 years, it's kind of difficult to visualize completion. Okay, mm-hmm. at least at first. Once you kind of you've built these habits and you've kind of taken back control of your finances, then you can start to look at larger items like paying off your homes or paying off a 5 or 6 figure student loan debt. So. Now, let's say I have a Chase credit card bill for $2,000, and I have a car loan that's $10,000, and I have a student loan bill that is $15,000. Okay, so I have these three debts. For my debt snowball, I'm going to take my Chase bill, which is $2,000, that's going to be first. Then my car note, which is $10,000, that will be my second bill, and my student loan, which is $12,000. At least I think I said $12,000. That's going to be my third one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you're going to do is, because we know what our cash flow is, we've already looked at our income, we've already put together the budget that has our income and our expenses, and figured out whether or not we have positive cash flow. Assuming that you have positive cash flow, what you're going to do is you're going to pay minimums on everything but the smallest debt.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever your minimum payment is on your car note, and then whatever the minimum payment is on your student loans, okay? You're going to pay minimums on those, and then you're going to throw everything extra that you can muster towards that first one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Once you get that out of the way, then you will take and throw everything extra in addition to whatever you were paying for the minimum on your second debt on the car notes, then you'll pay that one off, okay? Mm-hmm. And you can see how the idea of the snowball, because the amount that you're paying, it picks up momentum because it's getting bigger with each debt that you retire. Mm-hmm. And then once you finish those top two, then you take everything extra that you have and you'll use it to pay off that third one. Now there's a lot of debate about whether or not you should consider interest rates or maybe I should do the start with the biggest one. You know, there's all kinds of discussion. Again, I say do what works for you. This just worked for us, and it helped us to get, you know, to retire over $100,000 worth of debt. So mm-hmm. I know this works.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And mm-hmm. we have a little science on our side because two researchers recently from Northwestern, which is up the street here in Chicago, Northwestern University, just released a study showing that the debt snowball method for retiring debt is actually most effective. And the reason why? Quick wins. Okay. Because once you start with that smallest one and you see yourself progressing, then that creates momentum to continue and carry you through the process. And I can attest to that. When you start paying off debt and you start making you start seeing that balance go down each month, it's very energizing. Okay? It's extremely energizing. And the thing about it is, if you're paying the minimums on your credit cards right now with the Credit Card Act of 2006, credit card companies have to list how long it's going to take you to pay your bill off if you only pay the minimum amount. So everybody should make sure, I know we're all into getting our statements, e-statements, and probably maybe even setting up your payments on autopilot. But I want you to log in and look at that and find out how long it's going to take you to pay your current credit card bills off if you only continue to pay the minimums. And it should be an eye-opener for you to let you know that, you know what, I'm going to stay in debt much, much, much longer for stuff that I probably don't even remember what I paid for. You know,
paying
credit card bills for a couple of years, like what does this balance even relate to? Probably something I'm not even using anymore. Okay?
Right.
So that's why the idea of the debt snowball is so effective, because you build quick wins and you build momentum and then you start to see some actual progress in what you're doing. And so that's kind of the process that I just want to make sure people are aware of. And we write about this and blog about this a lot. All the time. I have all kind of information if people want to get in touch with us. You know, they can connect with us on Facebook in terms of how to actually implement this. But for me, in my mind, it's very simple, okay, because you don't have to do a lot of analysis. You don't have to do a lot of calculations. You just list your debts from smallest to largest, and you go for it.
You know what? Now that you've said that, I want you to – let's close the show with you giving me 5 tips to start eliminating your debt today.
Okay. So I'm going to repeat some of the ones that we talked about earlier.
Absolutely.
The first one I want you to do is, in terms of eliminating debt today, number one, I want you to do a budget. You need to know where you are so that you have a better idea of what you're working with to get to your ultimate goal, which is zero debt, okay? So budget, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Tip number two, okay? Now I need you to gather up all of your debts so that you enlist them from smallest to largest so that you can kind of see what your snowball is going to look like. So that's tip number two. Those are just about kind of knowing where you are and having a better picture of where you stand so that you can know where you need to get to. Now, number three, maybe we need to accelerate or think about ways to accelerate our debt snowball. So we need to think about maybe some other income sources, okay? If you're already operating with a negative cash flow, you definitely need to start thinking about ways to either cut back your expenses so that you can increase your disposable cash each month, or think about other ways to bring in more money. And these are some things that you want to – that I don't want you to think, like, okay, I need to start a new business and invest. No. I'm just talking about bringing some straight cash into the house. Maybe it's a part-time job after hours. Maybe if you're not working, maybe you can think about things like babysitting for,
side
you know, the neighbor.
Side hustle it.
Yes. Do you have a master's degree? Maybe you can teach online. Look at what you have right now and figure out ways to bring in some straight cash. Not talking about investing and doing things, putting some money out to bring some things in down the road. I'm talking about just bringing straight cash in right now. Those are some things. Tutoring, that's another big thing. You don't need a bunch of degrees to do that. And there are actually sites that will try to connect you with people looking for tutors. Okay, so there's a number of ways that you can look at in terms of like you said, to get your side hustle on, because you. The name of the game right now is income. Okay, we need to create as big of a shovel in terms of the disposable income that we have to attack our debt with that debt snowball as you can, so that your process goes as quickly as possible. All right? Oh, that's a big one.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm.
Number four. So I want you to start to think about ways that you can add more dollars to your shovel. And to do this, we have a book. I'm putting my plug out, but we have a free book. You can get it on our website. It's called Give Yourself a Raise in 21 Days. These are all about tips to look at adjusting, making small changes in your routine that actually probably could pay off very big. For instance, let me give you an example. Do you know that, I think it's 60-something percent. I don't remember the exact amount, but 60-something percent of people who have gym memberships don't use them.
Mm-hmm.
And the average gym membership is $55 a month. Do you think that money could be used? Do you think that money could go towards paying off some debt? If you're not,
yeah.
if you're not using, I'm not telling people not to exercise, but
right.
If you're signing up for a gym membership and you're not using it, how about redirecting that money towards something that's going to be a little bit more effective for you in terms of getting out of debt? So those are some of the tips we have in our book in terms of just looking at the things that you do and maybe tweaking them a little bit
mm-hmm.
to increase your monthly cash flow.
Okay, so I'm just going to say, look at areas where you can redirect money to benefit you better.
Yes.
Okay.
And we have 21 of those, so one for each day. If you're not a big reader, and then there's short little snapshots that you can read one every day and figure out whether or not this is something you can apply to your life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and number five, this is very, really, really important. I want you to commit to improving your financial IQ. Now, how can you improve your financial IQ? You can do it a number of ways. By, another shameless plug, following the Debt-Free Diva, okay?
Right, right.
We talk about weekly just different concepts in terms of matters around money, matters around financial management. You can take up, there's so many websites, there's so much information out there that's available to you. You just have to be interested to go look for it. And again, if you don't necessarily want to spend your time cruising around the internet, join us on Facebook. I'm constantly throwing information out there, helpful tidbits, information because this is what I love to do. I love to learn and I love to share what I've learned with people. So I want you to improve your financial IQ. Maybe are you a reader? Maybe you're not maybe you're books on tape anymore, but
you're an e-book. Right. There are people, there are actual books on tape that people listen to because I see people on the train all the time listening to the book.
Right.
So you are on point. Don't change it. You can do an e-book or books on tape. Go ahead or like.
Oh,
they still
call it books on tape because they're not here digital now, right?
This is true. Sorry. You're showing up.
But yeah, exactly. You know, reading is so fundamental in terms of just improving. You know, each week I want you to commit to just learning something new about managing money. And the thing about that is that's going to color, that's going to affect the way that you look at finances going forward. Do I need this? Is this a want or is this something, an essential, you know? Can I afford this? Should I save up and pay cash for this car? Those are the types of things that you really get into when you start to improve your financial IQ. So those are my, hopefully they're helpful. But those are my, I think,
excellent.
My five tips that I want to leave everybody with in terms of really getting this money management financial foundation on track.
I love it. No, that was all excellent, excellent tips. I can't wait to, like I said, create tribal wisdoms out of them and post them up on Pinterest, put them in the groups, and everywhere else. I'm going to put a couple of these into the event tonight for people to see if they didn't get a chance to listen. And for those of you listening by archive, she's on point. I can't, I'm very happy with everything that was said. Now, meanwhile, let's just really talk about all the places that we can find you and the Debt-Free Divas. We talked about Facebook. You do have a website.
Right. Our site is debtfreedivas.org.
Okay. And are you on Twitter?
And we are. And you can find us at Debt-Free Divas.
So it is Debt-Free, the whole thing, really? Debt-Free Divas with an S, plural.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay.
What's
on
an S?
Twitter.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you do anything on LinkedIn or any other social media network, but so far we've got
not really Facebook. Right now. We're kind of focusing on Facebook and Twitter.
Okay, great. So Facebook, Twitter, and, of course, their website, debtfreedivas.org. Please visit them on one of these mediums ask questions, download the free information. You heard me say free information.
No excuses.
Exactly. That should make people come running, as far as I'm concerned, that she's literally giving you tips on what you can do to improve your financial health overall. And you can start today. You don't have to wait for anything specific to happen. You don't have to, you know, don't feel ashamed about where you are right now with your finances. Just jump on it right now. If nothing else, like she said, just improve your financial IQ. If you're not even going to take the steps, the one thing you can do is just read about it. Is this right, Tony?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Goody. Then Tony and I are in agreement about this, although we're not in agreement about the coffee. I just want to say that once again. We are not in agreement about the coffee, but we are in agreement.
And that's okay. That is okay because, you know, like I said, there are so many ways to skin a cat, but I truly believe that when you know better, you do better.
Excellent. Excellent. Tony, I'm going to invite you back to the show. Please, please say you'll come back to the show.
Oh, absolutely. This is great.
Yay. Yay. Yippee. And we'll talk and get some more things because, ironically, we're over our hour, which is so cool. And we still didn't even get to the other things. We didn't talk about, we did talk a little bit about establishing good habits with your tips, but we didn't even talk about wealth management and like really creating wealth for your family. So we can, when you come back, we got to do something like that. And then, you know, we'll come up with a few other ideas of things that we could do for the shows. Excellent, excellent. As you know, you're listening to Tribal Wisdom by Bridal Tribe. I am your host, Cynthia Williamston. And did I even say Happy Wedding Wednesday today? I don't think I did. Happy Wedding Wednesday to all of our Facebook and Twitter friends who are listening. You know, we are a company about love, beauty, wedding, and marriage fun. We love you so much, and we are devoted to love. We will see you next week for some more financial literacy help. Good night.